This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. It's Tracy Capriato and Brian Pollack. We're here in Buffalo, New York, and I need a couple services done on my car. So Brian is test driving right now, and I'm really excited to have him in my car to get his reaction, his opinion. I don't think I've ever done this before. So Brian, how do you feel so far in this car?
I feel like it's a typical Nissan with about 70,000 miles.
All right. All right. So do you test drive every car?
I do. Every car gets test driven before, even just the New York State inspection or oil change. And I have this road here. I have that one there. It's a little bit bumpy when they redid it. It's nice for checking for loose suspension parts. And then I have a couple manhole covers I'm going to hit on this road.
Oh, with purposely manhole covers?
Yeah, like this one right here I'm going to hit with the right side.
Okay.
And listen for clunks, and there's none. And then I got one coming up over here on the left side, right before the stop sign here, that I'm going to hit. Listen for clunks.
You would hear
if they had a bad link pin, you'd hear something like a metallic knocking noise. Yeah, I like to do that on every car. And this is a good little street to do it on.
So you're mostly, it's feel and sound.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Are you also feeling the brakes too?
I am a little bit here, but what I'll do is I'll get out on 31 because a lot of time brake pulsations and brake issues don't show up at 30 miles an hour.
Oh.
Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level with the NAPA Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your NAPA sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop.
How long have you been doing this routine of test driving every vehicle?
Probably since about 2006 when I got burned on a car when they said...
Oh my! Oh my!
There we go. Evasive maneuvers.
This is a good ride. Oh, I almost got taken out by a shrub.
You can't make that up. That's funny. Welcome to farm country. He's a good guy. We'll let him slide. He's put his time in volunteering around here. He's a really nice guy. He volunteers at the farm museum. So that was funny. So anyways, I like to take every car on a little test drive, and we'll just go through here. This is actually where Jim and I worked our first day together outside the job that we used to work.
Wow.
Is right at this place.
What were you doing?
Well, we were working on cars, and the government, with all their stuff you got to do to buy a building, had us a little held up, and we had already quit our old job, and this is the little shop we were working out of.
Wow, nice.
Jim's cousins here have quite the operation. They work a little bit over 5,000 acres.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they do a bunch of corn and soybeans, and they do hay that has a high Timothy content.
Oh.
That elephants actually like, and a lot of their hay goes to like the Toronto Zoo and the Zoo New York, and yeah, they do a lot of cool stuff. But yeah, I'm just checking for transmission operation, which this one works like every other. CVT, which is good.
Okay.
Doesn't have any shutters or anything, because what we don't want to do is change fluid and cause a problem.
Okay. I mean, this is a full test drive experience. I feel like you're testing the steering and alignment.
Yeah, we're really getting
diverting over a tree.
We know that the front camera has warned me about the tree branch and the 100,000-pound truck, so its sensitivity is good from small to large. We know your ADAS systems are probably calibrated correctly.
Okay, great.
And yeah, I'm not feeling anything goofy in the brakes, so. Oh no, it was mad at me because I drove over the line.
Well, and so that was something when I first bought this car. It was the first time I had a car that had any sort of ADAS on it with blinking lights and noise and all that. And I remember I was standing in the kitchen at my dad's house and he said, "Can you show me how to turn? I want to turn those beeping noises off when I drive." And he had said, "Just give it 2 weeks. It's a safety feature for a reason."
Right.
And now I'm so reliant on it. When I drive a car that does not have beeping, I feel like I'm just off-roading.
I think it actually, both times, now that I think about it, I think it yelled at me because I was a bad person and I didn't use my turn signal and I crossed the fog line, I think is why it was mad at me.
Yep. So now I like it.
Yeah, this thing drives pretty good, actually.
All right, great. Well, I'm glad my car so far is holding up.
So far, this is the first of many investigations.
Back in the shop. So today, what I'm having service is my transmission fluid. But I mean, I have to say this, Brian, thank you so much for being a great contributor on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You've had some great episodes, including that ASC episode.
Mm-hmm.
We actually heard from David Johnson, the president of ASC,
that
he enjoyed
awesome.
The podcast. And plus, you're always on diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z with what's his name? So who? We appreciate that. You know, we've become friends over the last year. You've really been a great friend. But with all that being said, the only reason I'm here is to make Justin Morgan happy.
Yes.
You were verified by Justin Morgan. Last month, him and I were going over...
He told
over,
me, yeah, he says, I need you to take a bullet for me. Says, you know how I'd share a foxhole with you? I said, yeah. I need you to do something for me.
So I have heard through other shop owners that when you have a CVT, 60,000 miles plus, you should have your transmission fluid, you know, done,
yes,
serviced. And first, what does CVT stand for?
Continuously Variable Transmission.
Okay. And I also feel like CVT is kind of like Fight Club, where no one talks about CVT. If they do, it's in like a whisper. What is CVT transmission with a Nissan? Why does everyone wiggle their eyes?
It's actually not just Nissan. There's a company in overseas called Jetco, which produces most of the CVTs found in most vehicles. We even find them in some Chevys. We find them in Mitsubishis and the Nissans. I wish I had something to demonstrate. Long story short, it's two pulleys and a belt. And when we say belt, you always think of a rubber belt, but this is actually a metal belt that has friction material on it. And one pulley, the cone, so as the pulley closes, it changes the diameter, so it's like shifting gears on your bicycle when you're a kid. Remember, if you go big gear in the front and small gear in the back, you can go faster. But if you want to climb hills, you're small gear in the front and big gear in the back. And that's basically what it does. And it's continuously variable because there's an infinite number of ratios as compared to a six-speed, which would typically have six ratios.
Wow, okay.
It's heavily reliant on the fluid to do its job with the friction modification and lubrication of that belt.
So what does a transmission fluid do? Is it lubrication?
It lubricates. It has what we call friction modifiers, which change the way that the friction material works against the steel.
Wow.
Yep. Friction modifiers are a big deal. And it cools.
Okay.
So it's pretty important to make sure that all that's working correctly. And as the fluid, heat is the enemy of the fluid, as it gets heat cycled, those friction modifiers oftentimes break down. And once the fluid fails, then you get yourself in a situation where the metal parts are actually failing in the transmission because it's unable to do its job with the lubrication and the modification of the friction.
And if the transmission goes, that's really bad,
it's
right?
Bad. That's bad news on one of these.
Bad news bears. Okay.
Yeah, bad news.
All right, so what's the first couple things that you're going to be doing?
So we went on a test drive, and the first thing I like to do with every car is pre-scan it. And what this does is it allows me to upload it to a cloud, and I'll be able to search this car if any customer has any problem ever. I can have this car in the cloud. I can search the plate number. I can see every time I scanned it and what codes were there when I pulled it in. I have access to this for our shop here and our Lockport shop. So I can hop on my computer at home and I can look up if somebody, if one of my friends calls with a question, hey, you had my car in, what was the deal with this? I can log on, it's called Altus Drive. I can get on there and I can look at their whole pre-scan, the mileage, the codes that were there, the date and time and all that stuff. It's kind of handy. Plus, before you service the transmission, you want to know if there's any problems.
Okay.
With the transmission. We don't want to pour fluid into a transmission that has the judder code, a CVT. And there's not always a light associated with that.
Okay. What color is the transmission fluid? I picture it's like a really pretty blue or something.
Typically, well, that depends. Comes in many colors. And actually, years ago, Chrysler had a bulletin that said, do not use the color to judge the health of the transmission fluid. And after we're done scanning, I'm going to test your battery. Because just key on engine off, it's sitting at 11.8 volts. We're going to test this battery and make sure it's
okay, good. So I work remote, so I'm not driving a ton. What is that?
Probably a little bit rougher on the battery if it's sitting, because cars have a constant draw on the battery all the time. It's not like it used to be when you shut the car off and everything was off. It's like a dog in a crate. It's just waiting for you to come get it and go. You know
so
what I mean?
So if you have like chargers plugged into your car, does that make a difference? Should you unplug them if you're not driving? Or
absolutely.
You should?
Absolutely. Cell phone chargers are actually a major cause of keyless start, push button starts not working anyways.
Really?
So we take a lot of cell phone chargers and AirPod chargers out. When the person hits their button and their car won't start, the first thing that's got to go is the cell phone charger or the AirPod charger. So, and there's bulletins from OE manufacturers stating that. That's not like some Brian mystery tip.
My back door, I am having issues with that. So sometimes it goes up, sometimes it closes. It does what it wants half the time.
Yeah, so it stores some trouble codes that we can look into at some point in time, but exactly. Things that customers forget to mention or don't mention. The data doesn't lie, right? Our friend Brandon says that.
Yep.
The data doesn't lie.
I have a sticker.
Yep. So yeah, and it'll have, you know, it's got some sonar codes, and which they're not uncommon. And The thing you have to remember is when you get, obviously you have an issue there, but like when you have a code like this and you have these sonar codes and we're scanning and your key's been on for 2 minutes and your battery's already down to 11.7, a lot of the auxiliary systems are the first ones to set goofy codes because of low battery voltage.
Okay.
So we fix a lot of cars with a lot of codes by testing the condition of the battery and making sure it's working right. Radar stain is totally normal for Nissans. That means the front of your car was dirty and this general area down here, there was dirt somewhere, snow or something like that.
And when there might still be some snow in
yeah.
there.
When that front, well, it's a history code, when that front radar had snow on it, it set a radar stain code, which is completely normal. So far, we scanned 21 modules in this car.
Wow.
And this usually...
People always assume it's just the couple lights that are on the dash.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot going on with these things. There's a lot of inputs that people don't realize. So now I have a whole report of every, and I know the readiness monitor status of your car for New York State inspection, and it kind of stores it for me. I can go to view attachment, and I could actually print this out.
Oh,
it'll
nice.
Show up. This is what I get printed out for somebody if they need it. I actually get something like this, needs attention, which is a little bit misleading because you don't necessarily need attention because we talked about things that were perfectly normal. But we got other things with your auto back door where it's very irritated about the hinges that look struts, one of the two. And this tells you everything that is fine.
It's like a lab report.
Yep.
Medical
it's a basic report on the basic condition of your vehicle, just a little bit beyond the test drive. And now we know that we can go ahead and do a transmission service on this car. It doesn't have any pre-existing conditions. So we're gonna double check the battery just in case. In vehicle. These are actually super important. You can't lie to these. You have to make sure that you put in the right cold cranking amp number or else this test is useless. You can get a false positive or a false negative or whatever. So we got to get close to 582, which is 580. My point is you can't just keep it at 750 like it was in test. Oh, it says you're still good recharge, even though our charge is low and all that stuff.
What does that mean?
That means that...
It's still good?
That means that it's probably getting borderline, but you don't have what we would consider a failed battery yet. It is 5 years old, so that's something you would think about as winter comes up.
Batteries last X amount of years?
You know... There's not an exact number. 4 to 5 years is when I start talking about battery replacement. Some import batteries go a long time. We'll pull in Kias in here that'll have batteries from 2016 still starting them all winter. So there's not an exact rule. 4 to 5 years on my own stuff is when I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to do something about this or else we're gonna start having problems.
There so the go. Report that you had on the screen, that was kind of like almost a DVI.
Yeah.
Do your customers ever see that side?
Absolutely. We'll get them that side from time to time. We're old school, so we still do a ridiculous amount of actual paperwork, but there's nothing wrong with that. It's got a nice checklist for the guys so they know what to go over. Just all the silly stuff, the wipers. Check the wipers, make sure they're not torn on the ends or anything silly like that. So that one's good, that one's good. Every car that comes in our shop, no matter what it's here for, gets the oil dipstick pulled and checked. That's the rule. We don't pull a car in without checking the oil because you are a little bit low on oil.
Okay.
So we'll top that off. It's supposed to be
Right
up to that bubble there, and you're all the way down there. Because cars use oil now, that's what they do. Nothing alarming, just something that we gotta make sure that you get oil back in the car. That's all.
The Napa Now event is a national ownership workshop for our valued auto care members centered around business building training from industry leaders. Now, it's not just about owning a shop, it's about owning your future. Join Napa April 15th through the 17th, 2025 at the Venetian Resort in the heart of Las Vegas, known for its vibrancy, energy, and entrepreneurial spirit. At the event, ignite growth through business building masterclasses from leaders across multiple industries focused on expanding business opportunities. Now, masterclass topics include future-proofing your business, mastering emerging technologies for growth, leadership dynamics, inspiring, engaging, and driving success, shifting tides, understanding evolving consumer behaviors and your bottom line, and young leaders' lasting legacies, mastering succession planning for future growth. Foster collaboration with other like-minded Napa Auto Care members and store owners. Stop at supplier studios for training, visit Auto Care vendor partners, and finally, join us in celebrating 100 years of Napa Auto Parts, along with kicking off the next 100 years of partnership. There will also be exclusive giveaways. There are many incentive opportunities to offset the cost of this trip, including Auto Care program earnbacks, and beginning in October, earn up to $1,500 with pre-show supplier training to prepare for the supplier studio training sessions. The Napa Now event is a national ownership workshop for our valued auto care members centered around business building training from industry leaders. Now, it's not just about owning a shop. It's about owning your future. Join Napa April 15th through the 17th, 2025 at the Venetian Resort in the heart of Las Vegas, known for its vibrancy, energy, and entrepreneurial spirit. Get ready to grow, connect, and celebrate. This is an exclusive event limited to the first 2,000 auto care members. Packages are going fast. If you're interested in attending, contact your servicing Napa store or Napa salesperson.
Push, oh my gosh, you're just moving the car?
Yeah. They're not bad to move when they're on nice...
Yeah, if you're Brian Pollock.
Yeah, they're on nice level.
Oh my gosh.
When they're on nice level concrete, you just grab the car and move it, right? Sometimes I need a wheel chock for this bay. So I'll grab a wheel chock. So that'll stay. And then we can set the lift on the car and we can start some other inspections. We'll want to look at the belt and stuff. A lot of what there is to see on the belt is going to be seen on the underside of the vehicle anyways.
Has a car in your experience ever been lifted incorrectly?
Oh, yeah.
So if you start lifting it, do you notice, uh-oh, it's crooked? And then you...
Yep. We're always checking. We're not on our phones when we're lifting the car. All that good stuff. We're going to put that in park so it quits beeping at us. We'll get it off the ground a little bit. And I skipped one of my steps. I didn't check the air filter yet, so... We gotta get over here and check this air filter.
How often do air filters need to be changed?
Depends on the operating conditions.
All right, bugs and stuff and where you live?
Yeah, let's see if we can sneak this guy out of here. Yeah, it's got a little bit of dirt on the edge, but...
Oh my God, are those bugs?
Yeah. Brake fluid is right here near the max line. Have you had brakes done on this car?
I'm sure I have.
Yeah. Brake fluid's a good indication of low brake pads. So when you have high brake fluid like that, it indicates to me that unless somebody's been topping it off, the brakes, I'm probably gonna find there's probably pretty good pad thickness. Because as the pads wear and get thinner, that piston has to push out, it takes up the hydraulic space and the brake fluid drops. Are you a leaker?
I did have my oil pan fixed.
Okay.
That was an issue.
Gotcha. Right now I'm just grabbing the wheel to check for loose suspension parts. I'll come over here and do the same thing.
You would be able to feel if it was loose?
Yeah, there's not anything loose on this, but if there was a bad tie rod on, I'd feel it at 3 and 9. The tie rod's in the back on this, so a bad ball joint, I'd feel down here at like 7 o'clock. That's good. Didn't hear any wheel bearing noise, but that's the true test, putting your hand on the spring and spinning. Make sure there's no bad wheel bearings, which nothing's bad there. We're gonna do the same thing on the back. When you see this dent in your tire? Yeah. Things that go in are okay, things that come out are not.
Okay.
So that is actually normal. That's where they just seamed it during the manufacturing process. So we feel the tire and we feel that if you go like this, feel how it's a little choppy compared to feel in the middle. Feel that's nice and smooth. Feel this is toppy.
Yeah.
We're going to rotate these tires.
Okay.
That's what they do on the rear when they need to be rotated. Same with this one. It's a little bit choppy. It's choppy on both sides, so it's unlikely to be alignment wear. It's very likely to be just needs a tire rotation. So we don't feel any loose suspension parts. Get my fancy tread depth gauge out. We're gonna record some tread depths. Oh yeah, this one needs to be rotated. So they'll wear the right front tire a lot on a front wheel drive when they need to be rotated. Yeah, and one last one. All right.
You know what's interesting is I'm not sure if I've ever had my tires rotated without an oil change. Usually that's, in my mind as a consumer.
Right.
You get it. You have
sometimes what happens is the rotation for one reason or another gets skipped. And you can end up with them worn funny just because one rotation was missed, especially nowadays. But they're so focused on how quiet tires are, you can definitely have them. They'll miss it. Tires, it is all-wheel drive. And we checked the front suspension. We checked the wheel bearings. We looked at the tires. I'll get the tire size because at 4:30 seconds, you're going to leave here with a tire quote because you're not going to drive around on 4:30 seconds in the wintertime. 225, 65, 17.
So I am getting close to needing 4 new tires?
Yeah, actually for heavy truck inspection, like semi, for cars, passenger cars, it's 230 seconds fails inspection. Heavy truck is 4. So this isn't a heavy truck, but that's just to give you an idea of how down there you're getting. A new tire, you have 4 on 2 of your tires. A new tire would be like 12, 13. So you're getting pretty far down there. We make measurements, and this would be the type of thing that it's still summer, so you'll run those down and get all your money out of them. We won't just randomly change them.
But do you think before winter?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So before winter, I already have a list going on. I have 4 new tires and also perhaps a battery.
Yeah, cold weather, you got to be prepared. Oh, yeah, you got a nice new oil pan on there. That might have been from the last car that was here.
Okay.
I'm going to get my flashlight out. We're going to do some looking around at this car here. Oh, see this? Maybe it is you leaking.
Oh, yeah.
We got a leaky oil filter. Looks like to me.
So is that because it's not tightened?
You know, what we've actually noticed lately, and we've switched some of our filters, come from different suppliers, so.
Oh, it's leaking.
Yeah.
So is all this from the oil then?
That's all coming from the oil filter. Something that leaks back here that's common is the oil cooler, but this model engine actually has your oil cooler mounted up here and it is dry as a bone. So that's just all coming from the filter. So sometimes with some of these filters, we can run into, if the vehicle originally had a round cut gasket on the filter and somebody put one on with a square cut, which isn't their fault, it's listed as correct, but, oh yeah, that one's a little loose. There we go. Now she's tightened right up.
Now, had that not been tightened, it just would have continually
dripped. It would have just continued to drip. And that kind of makes sense because your oil didn't look that old, but it was a little low on oil.
Okay.
So like, can you see it right here?
Yeah.
You've been getting some free undercoating on your car. That's okay, that stuff happens.
What will the oil do if it's just left? Will it start like disintegrating anything or?
It's actually, that's why we call it free undercoating. It's actually helpful.
Oh, it is.
Because we're in the salt belt and they use a lot of salt on the road. Okay. So it's actually helpful.
Now, with that leaking a little bit, would it have eventually completely leaked out all the way? Or just would have been just...
There's a lot of hypotheticals. I doubt it. I highly doubt it. Oil is one of those things when it leaks, it looks a lot bigger than it is. I mean, look at what it left on the ground. That was probably 2 drops.
Really?
And it left a puddle that big.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So yeah, if you were to pour, like your engine takes, let's say 4.5 quarts of oil. If you were to pour 1 quart of oil on the ground, it would be like this whole front of this bay would be covered. So,
okay, yeah. Well, that's so interesting to know. I didn't know that.
It honestly looks worse than it actually was, if that makes sense.
Could it have loosened up with just driving or no?
It's tough to say. Some materials of some filter gaskets, and I'm just looking around at random things to make sure we're good here. Yeah, you do have plenty of brake pad left.
Is this just like glue? It's
that is called seam sealer. Yep. That's what they put in there when they build the car, to protect where they've joined some metal together. Yeah, yeah, that's normal. You wanna check that up there, these rubber things. Oh, this one doesn't have the rubber. This one's got the regular drive shaft, so you don't have to worry about that. Good. Come back here, check for loose exhaust shields, especially around the gas tank area. Hit my head on your muffler a little bit. Sometimes, we'll end up pulling the wheels anyways, but these brakes look good. The inboard pads is usually where you see a lot of wear. If we were gonna do a brake inspection, I would pull all the wheels and exercise everything. I just, looking at the condition, I don't know that it's necessary.
So this is this part of the suspension?
Yep, that's a coil spring.
Wow.
And that is the force that holds the vehicle up. And then this is a shock and this dampens that force so your vehicle doesn't bounce down the road like crazy, like a low rider.
Does it find that like this is peeling?
Yep, that's normal wear and tear for this area. Okay. This oil is actually from that up front.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets on everything. See, there's even a thin film on this.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets on everything. So now that we've looked it over, and
you
we stopped
this
one
for
issue.
Every car.
Yeah, yeah, every single
it's like
car.
Your private.
I'm the last one to touch it. It's got to be good. People got to know what's going on. So now that we've looked this over, I'm just going to document that there was an oil leak.
Well, thank you for tightening that.
Yeah, tighten the filter. I was happy with that. I just like to make notes. Battery was questionable. 4 tires before winter.
All right, I gotta start, you know, taking back those pop cans for my tires.
All right, so now we're gonna get to this transmission. There's a little bit of corrosion around this drain plug, but I'm just gonna dig at it. I don't know that I'm too concerned with that. We'll probably clean that up and give it a shot of paint before we put it back together. And this is the fill plug on these, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the fill plug on these. Okay, so now we're gonna get our handy. I'm gonna pick this up so I don't fall. I'm guessing being a Nissan, that's gonna be a 17. All right.
Is that all rusted from, like you said, salt and snow?
Yeah, just salt. Now watch yourself, this might spray a little bit.
Ah.
That can go on the ground, that's okay. There you go. There's the color of your CVT fluid. What I'll do now that this is draining, I'm gonna look up the procedure to fill it.
Okay.
Because it's not always the same.
It's not always the same of pouring something in and calling
it's
it
not always the same, and you can't know everything. So,
well, unless you're Matt Fonzo,
he probably knows how to do this. All right, it's 2019 Rogue S.
Every car will be a little bit different variations.
You don't know, and as soon as you assume, you do it wrong, and then it's in a transmission, and it gets really expensive, and then we just don't go down that road. We just suck it up and look it up. transmission, automatic, periodic maintenance, CVT fluid inspection. It's talking about, oh, there we go, replacement. Perfect. Fluid temp is 104 or less, blah, blah, blah. They want it at 104 or less because they don't want somebody to get burned. So sometimes it's important to read beyond that. So they want us to fill it there. Interesting. So what they actually want us to do, even though I'm pretty sure this vehicle has a dipstick tube up top, I don't know that there's a dipstick on it. I think there's a vent cover on that, but they don't actually want us to use that to fill it. They want us to fill it through what they call is the charging hole.
Oh.
We'll work on getting that plug out. I'll take my rail sockets with me so I don't get embarrassed again. Let's see, that's this guy here, which is a 14.
So it does make a difference filling fluid directionally.
Yep. I'm guessing you could fill it through the top, but they probably use the top as the vent. So if you tried to fill it through there, it'd probably get airlocked and it's probably just a pain in the neck. So they have you do it through here.
But aren't some cars do fill it from the top?
Absolutely. Yep. Just not on this one, they say. Okay, this one's gonna spit out at us too here. Oh, not that much apparently. It's got a little rubber O-ring on it. That's in good shape. So now we'll keep looking up the process and make sure we don't miss anything. Install the charging
kit. This is service info in my car.
Yes.
That's very fun. I've never seen this.
So, and it's a good idea. I was bad. I didn't read this ahead of time, but I do a couple of these. So it tells you fill with 3 1/8 quarts, US, blah, 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 right? Start the engine, tells you to do all this stuff. And then look what it tells you to do. It tells you to remove the drain plug again and repeat steps 8 through 18 one more time. So if you don't read the whole service information, wow, you end up ordering the wrong amount of fluid, right? Because at face value, this looks like about 3 1/8 quarts, right? But you need that times 2 because you're going to repeat steps 8 through 18. That's what they have you do. Okay. So what's going on is there's more than 3 quarts in the transmission. And what they want us to do is start it. And they want us to get all the stuff out of the torque converter that is still in there. Even though we drain the pan, you still have more fluid in your transmission. And what we're doing is we're essentially what years ago somebody would have called a flush. They have a different name, you know, flushes now are hook the lines up, which I don't want to get into that debate. We just follow the manufacturer service info and this is how Nissan wants it done. So that's how we do it.
Okay.
That's just us. People will argue that point and that's fine. They can do them. So this is the actual manufacturer that makes the fluid for Nissan, type N3. So if the dealer's not convenient, you can get this stuff. You can actually source this through your aftermarket parts store. You just have to know who makes the fluid.
Okay.
So sometimes the dealer's not that convenient or price or whatever. Very easy to get stuff if you do your research through an aftermarket parts retailer. It's not hard. That's what we do. 350 doesn't have a dipstick tube on it. So even to check the transmission fluid on even my 2021 F-350, you have to actually get under the truck and there's a cap you take off and there's a little mini dipstick in there. It's like that long and you reach up and pull it out. So yeah, it's super important to look up the service information, you know, how to do it properly and all that jazz.
So why would someone not choose
price
and availability?
Price and availability. Huh. Some people, sometimes it just doesn't matter. Aftermarket Dexron 6, Valvoline's Dexron 6, you know, and I'm not like, whatever, any company, it doesn't have to be Valvoline. Their Dexron 6 is gonna work in a GM transmission, but when you get sensitive things like this, we're gonna put the exact right fluid in it. You know what I mean?
But that's up to the shop's discretion of what they order.
Unfortunately, yeah. Definitely up to the shop. Doesn't give me a drain plug torque spec. That's not convenient, is it? Specifications. It's not gonna give me a transmission drain plug torque spec.
Are you looking to see how much it needs to be tightened?
Yep. Or? General specifications, shift specifications. Oh my goodness. Could this be any harder to find? 25 Newton meters, which is what every oil drain plug on the face of the planet takes, 25 plus or minus 5 typically. And we're at 27 is what I put on it. So we're good.
I feel like I need that for like
You want to try that?
Okay. I feel like I need this for like home appliances. Like I, you know? Okay.
Put it right up on there. Yeah. Get the socket lined up on the flats. Okay. And you're going to push that way. Oh yeah. You got to keep going.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, see? Everybody thinks fixing cars is easy, don't they?
Okay.
There you go, you got it. Oh, that's funny. I'm gonna put a little bit over 3 quarts in this, just like it told me to.
Oh, it's green.
Yeah, that's probably what color yours was originally.
So who suggested this, Justin?
Yes.
Justin Morgan.
I mean, yeah. He knew probably this was gonna be a double drain, but he still wants commission based on this job.
I'm gonna send him something, all right. I can't believe he hasn't called me yet. It's 11 a.m.
Well, because he knows that, you know.
He probably knows.
We're on camera. We're.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Justin and I spend an average of probably too long for a work day on a phone with each other.
Do you just have one of those headsets? Just walk around?
Sometimes I have to put it on. Okay. Said to put in 3 1/8 quarts.
Oh.
There we go. We're down to 24. Perfect.
Wow, it's like Hulk juice.
Right?
It's green.
Yep. It's excessively green. Get this tight. Get this tight. Go back to my service info to make sure I'm following it properly. All the way back to here.
Well, now I'm able to really see, you know, the acronym RTFM, read the freaking manual, that
yeah.
I hear all the time on the podcast, and now I'm seeing it live in action that...
Oh, yeah.
You have to look back and just be checking.
Yep. So what we're going to do is we're going to put 3 1/8 quarts in it, lift down the vehicle. That's what happens when they translate something from Japanese,
oh,
then to Chinese, who are the ones that do all the translating, to English. That's what happens. It's pretty good because their languages are so close, but it's really ugly when you get German to Chinese to English. It's
wow,
brutal. So long story short, it wants me to fill this up with that. It wants me to get in, check the fluid temp, 95 to 113.
How do you check the fluid temp?
With the scan tool that I have hooked up, yep. Before I get to this, hopefully my MacGyver action doesn't leak. You probably picked the slowest person to do this job in the entire West New York area because I don't do this stuff anymore.
But I know it's being done right.
If so. Your check engine light's on, I got you. I'm fast. But I just don't do this stuff for that much.
Brian is coming out of retirement for me, and I appreciate that.
If you actually listen to it, you can actually hear it. You could for a minute. You can actually hear it hitting. We're putting it in here, but you can actually hear it sloshing in the pan. Hear it?
Yeah.
Sloshing into the pan. So they must have some channel that's been cast into that aluminum housing that goes right over there. Okay.
So you have to undo that and plug it this.
Yeah. Look at that. Almost like I've been here before. If they would have been the same socket, I'd have put them in the wrong spots. Which is silly because they're the same thread. Okay. And now you're going to put your foot on the brake and just let it sit there and drive.
And put it in drive?
Put it in drive, yep. And just keep your foot right on the brake, yep. If I was doing it myself, I would just shut the hood and I have the big screen on the scan tool and I probably would have done this ahead of time. But we can pull up the transmission temperature. We can find, there's the voltage for the temperature. Fluid temperature Fahrenheit. We put it on a graph. We can see we're at 114 right now. So we're gonna go see what we gotta be, okay? We're right there, put it right in reverse. Now you can put it back in park. And we're gonna do that one more time.
Wow, so putting it in different, what is that recycling?
What happened when we drain the fluid, yes, that is happening. Just like you talked about, it's moving the fluid through different parts of the transmission. Also, when we drained it, some air came out of the valve body and we're purging the air out of the valve body. So now you're gonna put it in drive again and we're gonna hit reverse again and we're gonna put it in park and shut it off. And that has circulated a bunch of fluid out of
wow,
the torque converter. We're past the minimum temperature, so we can go back up and we get to do it again.
Wow. So again, if you're not reading that multiple times
and that's not
and putting it in park reverse and yeah, you just filled it and then...
And if you're just used to what most cars are, that's not a common procedure.
Okay.
It's not very common to do it twice, but that's what Nissan says wow, to do. So that's how we're going to do it.
I'm glad I'm getting it done right because
yep,
now I see all the different intricacies of where it can go
mostly,
awry.
Mostly my lack of preparation.
Well, even the park and all that, like that's...
Oh, yeah.
You could skip that easily by accident.
Yeah, where most guys would miss on this is the double fill. Most guys would probably miss that. I wonder how much the fluid color. So now this fluid is going to be half diluted.
Okay.
Old and half new is the idea here. And the pan is warm, so I'm thinking it definitely circulated. Look at that. It went in green and it's coming out that amber color kind
wow,
of again. Isn't that interesting?
Now, why did it want a specific temperature range?
I'm assuming, so the thermostat in the transmission is open. A lot of these transmissions have thermostats to circulate through the transmission cooler. That's likely why it wanted that range. And they're probably talking about temperature for fluid level check also.
Now, if the temperature's not in range, what do you do?
You have to make it in range. When you go to do your final level check, you gotta get the temperature in range.
So if it's too hot?
You gotta let it sit.
Let it sit?
Yep.
And if it's not in the winter, then is it basically?
Yep, a lot of times in the winter we have to idle them and
okay,
maybe even, you might even have to do like a short trip to the end of the street and back.
Wow.
Because as the fluid temperature goes up, the level's going to go up. As it goes down, the level's gonna go down. A lot of vehicles have a hot and cold mark. that interesting how amber that went just by doing that, right? It went in right green, it went in, and it came out, and it did exactly what they said it was gonna.
Wow.
That's interesting, isn't it? All right, now I'm gonna get in there and clean that surface rust up real quick.
So if there was too much corrosion, it could prevent it from sealing.
From sealing properly. Then we'd have to get a pan, and then you'd be here way longer than you wanna be, and you don't want any of that. So what we'll actually do, we will put this together and we'll dry it off and we'll give it, we clean it down to bare metal, which is good because the corrosion's gone, but it's bad because it'll actually rust faster. Just looking at this crush washer to make sure that's in good shape and it's still plenty thick. And what we'll do is we'll actually clean that up with some brake clean and I'll give it a shot. I have black spray paint exactly for stuff like this over there. We'll give it a little shot of spray paint so it doesn't continue to rust because we took it down to bare metal, so sometimes that makes it rust faster.
Oh.
So we'll get rid of all that jazz. There we go. I'm missing off the back a little there.
Gosh, it smells like...
It's horrible, isn't it?
Acetone, like getting your nails done.
Yeah, it's awful. Now we lost some rust. 2 extra minutes to do a real nice job. We're gonna pull this plug out again. Okay, we're gonna re-rig up our... I know I have to do at least this much, and then I'm gonna go read because I wanna be real careful about the level. Twist this backwards a little bit. Preload this hose. Fill with approximately 3 1/8. Look at, remove the ATF charger hose and charging pipe, then install the open. Note, perform this work quickly because the fluid leaks, which we found out when you pull the pipe out. That's funny. I just like how they put stuff in there. All right, fluid temp. Okay, so what this is telling us is the same hole that we're filling it through. Once we get up to temperature, we are going to lift the vehicle up and remove the overflow plug. And confirm that the CVT fluid is drained from the overflow plug hole. So that's also the hill we're filling it through is also the level setting hole. Slows to a drip, tighten it. Okay, and that is going to be done with start the engine, right? Park, drive, park.
What is it, L?
L is low, but okay.
So what does it mean, never reuse O-ring?
Never reuse O-ring. They're gonna want me to change this rubber O-ring, which I'll put a new one on before we put it back together.
Now, does it matter the speed that it goes in or no?
Nope.
I'm gonna have the best transmission in Erie County. Now, what would you say to a customer that was like, oh, I don't wanna pay for it, it'll be fine, or they don't want to have the service done, they don't feel the...
You know, it's their property, that's their choice. I usually tell them what I would do if it's mine.
Okay.
Which sometimes varies from maintenance schedules and sometimes does not. Like with fuel and air filters, I own a diesel. I tend to be a little bit on top of my fuel filter more than average because I've seen the price tag of fuel filter negligence. So an extra $100, you know, it works out. I have to spend an extra $100 once every other year, but I avoid a $13,000 job. So that's what I do.
Now, where does it say? Does it say in the service manual 60,000 miles recommended transmission fluid replacement?
Yes.
I don't know if I've had my first Rogue transmission fluid done. I don't remember. Maybe.
60,000 is also like the, when you talk to the professionals that just do transmission, that's like the agreed upon thing that's talked about with Nissan CVT fluid changes. There's some things that are in the service. You get into a kind of a gray area. You run into stuff that's not exactly maybe listed, certain services, but you're like, hey, if you don't do this, you're gonna have a problem. And you run into other things that some shops just, quite honestly, they're a little bit too gung-ho and they go after it a little bit too often.
Well, I should switch arms. I should have switched arms during this.
I'm gonna go grab my O-rings over here. We're gonna get an O-ring for that drain plug or fill plug. It says somewhere, I promise I read it.
So is that because of, why is that? Why would you need to replace it?
Perform this work.
Never reuse O-ring.
See, you gotta read.
So what does that mean? It doesn't want to reuse?
It's just a gasket. It's a rubber gasket. It deteriorates over time. When it was installed, it was compressed. So they just want you to replace it, which makes perfect sense. You got all that in there.
But you didn't have to replace it on the other plug?
Yep, that was a copper drain washer. What I did is I looked at it real good to make sure it wasn't squashed out. It really still fit loose over the drain plug, so that's in pretty good shape. I'm not really too concerned about that. We're actually just, I'm not even gonna torque this right now because we have to actually pull this back out. So I'm just
gonna. The plug?
Yep, this is what we're gonna do the next step. We're gonna end up pulling this thing back out because what's gonna happen is we're gonna run this and it's gonna circulate the fluid through the transmission. And that's actually how you set the level on this transmission also. I'm gonna make sure I read it right. I'm pretty sure we gotta do the same thing again. Fill, remove, start engine, park L, park, check, 95 to 113. So now the fluid temperature is gonna be crucial now.
Okay.
So we're gonna have to check the fluid temperature, and if it's hot, we're gonna have to let it cool down. It's not a problem to do the park in neutral to purge the air. The temperature is with the level setting. The hotter the transmission fluid is, the higher it expands under heat, so it's gonna come up. So they have a setting the level with an overflow plug, which essentially means we're going to pull the plug and let the extra drain out. Well, if it's too hot, that level's gonna be too high, we're gonna drain too much out and it won't have enough in it.
Wow.
So I'd say reading is important. So you'll get in.
Okay.
And you'll just start it at first, and we're gonna check the temperature. You can do your park, then low, then park again. Look at that, dropped all the way down. So you're gonna do put it in low all the way down with your foot on the brake. Yep, and then put it back in park. All right, and you're actually gonna keep it running and get out. It's in park, right?
Okay, yes.
Yep, keep it running, you can get out. We got a race.
114.
114, I think, as it said, was max. I don't know what we're at now. We're probably getting
105.
It's gonna be a photo finish.
All right, so 114.
All right, we gotta go in. We're not worried about a couple degrees, but we don't want it 125 or anything like that. As soon as I find my ratchet. So now we're gonna hurry up. We're gonna crank this one out. This is our level plug. Perfect, that's what it wanted. It wanted it to drip. See how we had a steady stream and then it dripped?
Uh-huh.
So we are filled up. We are in good shape. We got it before it got too hot. Torque it. Make sure I turn my torque wrench on, 25, perfect. So this is the dipstick tube, and some people might be fooled that you would fill it through there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually, see how that fits loose?
Mm-hmm.
That's just venting air from the transmission.
Oh.
That's all that thing lives to do. And that, even though it's got a tube, yep, it vents air, this is an air vent.
Where does it vent out?
It vents the air just into the atmosphere.
Yeah, the edges of that cap.
Yep.
Wow.
And you don't fill it through there, so if you don't read the manual.
You can take that out and it would be a little dipstick?
No, there is no dipstick there.
Oh.
That's just a vent, but you don't fill it there, even though it looks like.
You could take
that. Yeah, that would come off. I see there's a metal tab there, it's plastic. I don't want to get in there and break it unnecessarily.
Right.
It looks like it might be a pain in the neck. But yeah, that's where that would vent, but that is not where you fill this transmission.
You definitely don't want to do that twice.
That's the RTFM on the Nissan. Super. So yeah, that was fun.
I loved it.
You guys got to watch me take way too long to do this job.
No. I'm sure.
They were dying.
Yeah, right. This took me. Man, I used to be really good at this. I suck at this now. But yeah, so now you're good for another 60,000 or so.
All right, awesome. So if I have this car and it's hitting 120,000, that would be another.
Time to do it again.
All right, really cool. All right, what's left?
We just got a test drive. We just got to get cleaned up.
Where are the tires? You said you want to do the tires.
Oh, that's right. I was going to rotate the tires. Good thing you're here. I get a tire straightened out. And we got to hold it for the last one. Never seize. This is essentially spray high temp never seize. And we don't ever put never seize on threads. We put it on the back of the wheel like this.
What does it do?
That stops that corrosion from coming back. It happened while it was mashed together, right? You had the aluminum wheel against the steel rotor. And the corrosion kind of built up. Now we're taking two different surfaces, right? We're gonna take one wheel and put it on a different rotor than the one that it corroded with. And when that happens, you get areas that don't compress when you're torquing the wheel, but then you drive down the road and it's going like this. And that's where a lot of loose wheels happen, is when shops don't clean the corrosion off the back of the wheels.
If we were in Florida, would you not have that?
Probably would not have that.
Okay.
Yeah. And these are looking pretty good. I'm not too worried about that. I do have a tool that cleans this, but these are. See, there's hardly anything there. Those are coated rotors, so that's in good shape. When we rotate a front-wheel drive car, or any car, we're going to cross to the primary drive axle.
Crisscross.
Which means crisscross to the front, and then the fronts go straight back.
Now, what happens if you're doing this, and then you're like, I forgot which wheel's which?
Don't do that.
Okay. So you really have to pay attention.
Honestly, you could measure the tread depths and look at the condition of the tires and decide which ones which should be on the drive axle and which ones shouldn't. You could do that if that did happen. So it's not the end of the world. So we can get these on. You wanna try that last one?
Okay.
Now if you're gonna, you don't grab it like I did, because if you don't do a ton of them, you'll just hurt your finger. So try to get under it, under the actual tire.
When they grab the tire?
Yeah, don't grab it by the spokes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, do as I say, not as I do, right?
Okay, I'm coming in.
You're gonna have to, I think you're gonna have to cut and retie. Oh man, did you get it?
Did I get it?
No, the studs aren't in the hole.
Okay, hold on.
So you gotta take it and you gotta rotate it.
I can't believe you just threw these on, Brian. Okay, now I see.
All right, you gotta rotate a little bit more. Oh man, you're close. Oh. You got it, you got it. There you go. So.
Brian makes this look so easy. That was not like that.
Nissan lug nuts are horrible because they're so far. The wheel is, so what we do is, well, you could probably start one. My hands are just a touch bigger than yours. So see how I can't really, see how I can't do this? So I grab, Snap-on has a step in their socket. So I can go like this and the lug nut won't fall down in. I can just go like this. I can start the lug nut. I get one, start it all the way in like that. I can start the other four. That's my tech tip for people with big hands, to start Nissan lug nuts.
Now it doesn't matter how you put these on, it matters how you tighten it, right?
Correct. Yeah, we're gonna do a whole thing about tightening lug nuts and why we use a torque wrench. Okay, those ones are good. Undown setting. Hear how I'm just letting it click one time? Mm-hmm. Like that? That's because we're gonna hand torque all these.
But you tighten this when the car is down?
Yep.
Why is that?
So the wheel doesn't spin.
Oh, okay.
Right? So I have the lift. The lift is kind of engaged here. It's acting as a brake. The car's tire's on the ground. And I can get in here and there we go.
Be even harder than the plug then?
No, because you're gonna push down and you're gonna use your body weight to assist you in torquing the wheel.
Okay.
And see, it's got the little cheater LEDs on it. Tells you when you're getting close. There you go.
Okay, and then I go.
Right to the lower left.
This one?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, and then
now
this
the
one?
Upper right. You just came from that one, right? You gotta go to the next one to the right.
This one?
Next one to the right.
I already did that one.
Did you do that one first?
Yeah, I did that one and then that one.
Okay, then go to the lower right, I'm sorry. That's my ADHD, I'm already pre-gaming what I'm gonna check on that Jeep that just broke down in the back.
Oops, it went to red.
That's okay. And it went to red, but if you look at it, what is it, like 104, 105? Yeah, 104, you're fine.
Okay, and then this one?
Yep, there you go.
And then the bottom one.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go.
How many times has this fallen into a vehicle?
Oh my gosh, 800,000. Probably this time too, before I'm done. So that's about 0.6. Yeah, Carm called it. Carm called it with a quart. That's what it's gonna take to make this whole deal work. This one's got the lock on it. There we go.
Okay, so it's supposed to be at the second dot.
Yep, second dot.
Brian, thank you so much for
letting me
eat up your entire day doing my vehicle. I learned a lot about transmission fluid. We did the service twice.
Yep.
We had a look at the service manual a million times to double check. Temperature plays a huge role in that. Park, plays a role. And then also tires are a lot heavier than I thought. And you make everything look so easy. And it's not. So thank you for letting me have fun with my vehicle and also let me learn a ton of stuff too. So
absolutely.
You're very knowledgeable. I can see why Justin Morgan vetted you and approved. So he will be happy.
Yeah, he will be happy.
And that's, you know, words we have to all live by.
Yeah, that's the only thing that matters.
It's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Yep, you're welcome.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.